Okay, well, good morning. So I'm Dr. Burnett, Audrey Burnett, and I'm actually collaborated with Emily Okerson on this project, and she is an assistant director with the IIHHS with James Madison University, which stands for Institute for Innovation in Health and Human Services. So this project really would not be possible without her collaborative efforts with me. So this, you're seeing by the title perhaps that it's very similar to the first presentation. We did implement a poverty simulation as part of the curriculum. However, we have what's called the 8 key question framework to really promote ethical thinking and ethical reasoning among students. So we're specifically tying into the results of the poverty simulation students' reflection papers with the 8 key questions. So it is slightly different, but somewhat maybe repetitive. So our learning objectives were to identify that importance of providing students with both collaborative and transformative team-based learning opportunities. And in the department that I teach in, our classes are relatively large because we are one of the largest departments on campus, health sciences, which is exciting. But our classes range about maybe 60 to 80 students per section. So we do a great deal of teamwork. So this is not something that students aren't already accustomed to. But also that planning process in terms of that interprofessional planning for both myself, but also students engaging in interprofessional collaboration is also key and one of the learning objectives of this study and presentation. So this particular study is indeed a pilot effort at this time. We've only collected 2 waves of data because the course I teach, it is now required. It was not required at the original time of data collection. So makes it a little bit more interesting in the future when we do collect more data. And so we collected 2 waves. It's an 8-week class. And so we collected 2 waves of data over 2 consecutive spring semesters. So it hasn't really, we don't have enough significance or numbers even in terms of qualitative data, but still telling nonetheless. And so basically our intro here is to interpret students' reflections. You know, what did they learn from the poverty simulation experience? How will they apply it to their professional development and to how they interact with patients and clients in the future? Very, very key concepts for them to learn, but also, how did the simulation impact their ethical reasoning, their ethical thinking skills? Because that is a huge component of the course, but also, again, tying that into those 8 key questions are very, very key as well. And Emily does have a handout with the 8 key questions that she'll hand out to you, I guess, following the next few slides. So you'll have that to access. So the background, we know that thinking critically is key for students' development, their learning process. But also applying what they learn in class in an effective manner is also key as educators, for those of us in the room who are educators, even at the community level, community health educators, for example. And also fostering that team building and doing it in an effective manner. You know, we can work in teams all day, but is it in fact effective? Are we implementing the goals that we wish to establish with the community, with other students perhaps, depending on the goal of the project? And then the simulation activities do prepare students for situations and populations that they will likely encounter in the future, in a good range, no less, and also exposing them to that interprofessional collaboration working in teams, because it was not one major that participated in this simulation. It was a variety, and again, Emily will talk more about that as well. So Emily will come up and join us, discuss a little bit about the overview and the background regarding this particular poverty simulation.
The Life in the State of Poverty simulation was developed by ROWEL, the Reform Organization for Welfare, and is now available through the Missouri Community Action Network. The 2.5-hour workshop allows 70 to 110 participants to assume roles in 26 different families living in poverty. As we heard before, the task of the families is to provide for basic necessities and needs for 1 month, consisting of 4 15-minute weeks. Faculty and community partners assume roles within the community agencies, businesses, and resources. The students have the opportunity to reflect with the large group after the simulation, immediately after the simulation, and to submit, as Audrey said, a written reflection 1 to 2 weeks after the simulation. We also ask them to consider steps that they can take now to make a difference or be the change, as we talk about at James Madison University. Faculty and departments in the College of Health and Behavioral Studies at JMU believe that their students can better address the issues and needs of persons affected by poverty if they gain an understanding, and we gain an understanding, of life in the state of poverty, which includes the confusion, defeat, frustration, exhaustion, and despair that the poor feel as they are trying to provide for their families. We always emphasize that this is a simulation and that the families do not reflect our poorest neighbors. The history of the Life in the State of Poverty simulation at JMU is that we've offered it since 2002, and we offer it 2 to 3 times each semester. Over 3,200 students have participated, and you can see the majors that have participated. We are intentionally have the teams and the families interprofessional in nature. As Audrey continues, I will hand out some cards that outline the 8 key questions that are part of the reflection prompts.
Okay, and Emily already covered it. In this particular simulation, it's about 3 hours total, so that allows me to use my 8-week class because the class is, in fact, a 3-hour course. So far, we've only collected over 2 semesters, so this will continue in the future, obviously. And as I mentioned previously, now that the course is actually required by all health sciences majors, it will be interesting how their reflections might change in the future compared to those that they didn't have to take the course. It was, in fact, an elective at the time of the first wave of data collection. Right now, only about 120 health sciences students that I've looked at intentionally from my course, and I used 5 prompts. Now, again, these are the 8 key questions, so you can kind of see here, again, with the handout as well. But the 8 key questions is part of the Madison Collaborative, which is also part of our accreditation process for James Madison University. And so this was more of that 10-year strategic planning process. And again, this is really to kind of promote that critical thinking that we want students to go out into the world with. And certainly not just health sciences students. This is across the entire campus. But all courses, I guess they're not required at this time, but eventually they will be required to implement the 8 key questions. And my prompt slide, for some reason, is not there, but the 5 prompts I used primarily focused on what did you gain from this, from engaging in this poverty simulation? How will you apply what you learned during the poverty simulation to your professional development, to your professional job in the field one day? You know, would you recommend any changes to the current poverty simulation? Those sorts of questions were their prompts. And sometimes, obviously, as happens with qualitative data, they would write outside the box and they wouldn't necessarily address only those questions. But students definitely need a guide in terms of answering questions. So we analyzed this qualitative data using the In Vivo 10. So we wanted to identify the themes. What were the continuous constant themes that students were mentioning in their reflection papers? And so we, both Emily and I, did this follow-up manual checking too to confirm that we also found, by coding ourselves, the same themes that were found via In Vivo. And we did create a word cloud also, and I'll show you that in a moment as well, that confirmed pretty much the same consistent themes. So what were the major themes? Help was mentioned over and over again in terms of there's not enough help, and even when there is, how do you access the help? students had no idea how to access the help in the community among the agencies, so that was a huge component, as well as health. Many of the family members, their health was declining rapidly, and so that added to their stress levels, of course, because they didn't know how to manage the health conditions of their family members. Time, I would say, I'm only mentioning the top three. Time was also an issue because these were broken into 15-minute segments, so students were crunched and pressured for time. And anytime that happens, I think we all feel stressed out, but particularly when you're trying to provide basic needs for your family members, that's an ever more present stressor. So time, help, and health were the top ones. And you can kind of see that here in this word cloud as well. You know, resources were lacking, time, family members, and then we upped the ante in terms of adding the number of potential themes, and we still found the same themes based on our data analysis using InVivo. So what are some, the more, I guess, prominent student quotes based on the eight key questions, and I'm not reading these word for word, but it was unfair in a lot of students' eyes that some families, in fact, received more aid from community agencies than others. They felt, hey, my family needed help too, and we didn't receive it. That's totally unfair, because fairness, of course, is one of the eight key questions. And again, you know, would it be wrong not to give everyone a fair chance? No, everyone should have a fair chance, but that was not reality as part of this simulation. And I thought this was interesting. I can always look back on this experience and really force myself to put myself into someone else's shoes to kind of better experience what these individuals and these families are going through. In terms of outcomes, so this one student mentioned that constantly these obstacles were being thrown her way, and she was trying just to live literally moment by moment. She could not think long term. You know, a lot of us maybe are thinking more long term, not in this particular situation. She was intending to survive with her family week to week, moment to moment. So that shows, highlights that outcomes component of the eight key questions. Responsibility. I think as a community, it is our responsibility to carry those who cannot carry themselves. Very, very telling in terms of what students took away from this particular poverty simulation. In terms of character, being poor is physically and emotionally stressful. Now, that's not to say that makes someone's character, but it certainly is part of defining that individual, because that's their reality that they're dealing with, poverty, on a daily basis, moment to moment. And I need to look out for my community members. So they're doing that in the moment during the simulation, but they also realize they'll have to continue that behavior in the future. And I think one of the most telling key quotes here in terms of the liberty piece, when does poverty become a public issue that we cannot confront together rather than a private trouble? I think that is probably, of all of these quotes, one of the most telling in my mind, and highlights liberty. And I'm kind of skipping through some of these just for the sake of time. Empathy, pretty much the same. You know, we need to advocate for those who cannot do so for themselves. And I need to stay true to myself and advocate for those who are either too busy, too stressed, or too scared to advocate for themselves. And then authority, treating everyone equally. And we talk a whole lot about the Hippocratic Oath in my ethics class, so that's why they mention the Hippocratic Oath in particular. Not that they're all going to be medical doctors, but some of them will be. And then authorities, they should be more understanding. And students learned very quickly that that was not the case during the simulation, unfortunately. People deserve freedom, food, shelter, health care. So that's a, you know, that's a right, not a privilege, in other words. And then the kind of summarizing quote, this experience has taught me so much more than I learned to than I had expected previously coming into this. And they did not have any previous readings on what the poverty simulation entailed, so some were very hesitant. They had no idea what I had in store for them, but they realized how valuable the learning experience was. So just to kind of summarize everything, so based on their evaluations, their summary reports, students' evaluation of structural, systemic, and personal problems, they were very much identified and aligned with those key themes that we did pull out from their reflection papers, and they did display that advanced critical thinking, which is exactly a huge goal of the course in and of itself, and impactful learning. So I think what I took away from the first presentation, I do debrief with my students after they submit their reflection papers, but I think I'd like to do follow-up, you know, focus groups, something like that in the future, now that we're kind of past that kind of preliminary stage, and maybe even bringing in some other majors, engineering, computer science, maybe they would add different perspectives to this as well. So I am out of time. My references are there, and certainly if you have questions, I can answer them at the end, or you can email me. So, good.
Thank you.